choose by diamond, by red, by gold. All the rabbanim, hachamim, avrichim. I feel the heavy responsibility of disturbing the Seder in the middle, but we hope that the words we will say will be for Chizuch and Be'ezat Hashem. It should last for many more Sederim. We know that the ultimate purpose of Briyat HaOlam, the creation of the world, was Bishvi HaTorah or Bishvi Yisrael. And probably the greatest moment of creation of the existing of the world was Ma'amad Har Sinai. Nothing comes from even anywhere near that great moment in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself on Har Sinai and gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. From the very beginning, that was the purpose, as Hazal learns, Bereshit bara Elokim et haShamayim et haAretz, b'shvil haTorah shenikret Reshit, b'shvil Yisrael shenikru Reshit. That was the ultimate tachlit of everything, of the whole of creation. And on that day, it was the culminating point of the greatest wedding of all time, which Shavuot and Klal Yisrael, Yom Hatunato v'Yom Simchat Lubav. And the Kala Tula was Am Yisrael. So what we have difficult to understand is that instead of preparing the Kala Shisha Chodashim b'Besamim b'Tamrukei Anashim, and which both threw us into the smelting pot of Egypt, to suffer there, to toil ba'avodah kasha, b'chomer, b'ldenim, b'chol avodah b'sadeh, such a, you know, slavery. We were sent into slavery, and not just slavery, but we suffered there all sorts of cruelty, all sorts of horrible gzerot through Paro and his people. Unbelievable suffering. Why should this gzerah, the suffering, have been necessary as the preparation of the Kala HaKlula to come to the Chuppah al Ma'amad Har Sinai? We could understand the answer to this from a few of the psukim in this week's parasha, Parashat Shemot, and further down it says time and time again. First of all, by the burning bush it says that Avdu Et Elokim al Har Hazeh. We're speaking about Avdut. Rotzeti etchem mitachat seblot Mitzrayim to Yuli la'avadim. That was the ultimate purpose. Kabbalat HaTorah and Kabbalat all Mitzvot is Avdut. Unconditional Avdut. Complete Avdut. Avda dekutshavichu anan. That's what we are. That's our definition. So we could explain that in order to us, for us to be able to understand really what are the capabilities of an Eved, how far can a person give of himself day and night, under what conditions, to be an Eved Shalem. To understand that Shi'ur of Avdut, of the folk who put us into Egypt as slaves, so that we can first hand taste what Avdut means when Hashem tells us that He took us out of Egypt mitachat seblot Mitzrayim, where you tasted the Avdut, you felt physically all the suffering what a slave can go through, and then realize that that's what I'm expecting for you. I'm expecting 100% Avdut, not withholding anything. If we are not going through the Avdut of Mitzrayim, B'chomer, B'venim, B'kol Avodah B'sadeh, Avodah Parech, we would have never known what the Kohot of an Eved is. know that there are people who lived through the Holocaust. There were people in our times, even we knew such people who were sent off to Siberia. They suffered there. Also avdut, complete avdut. And people survived. Many people were murdered, were killed ruthlessly. But those who were put to slavery somehow survived. There were hundreds of thousands who survived. Although they lived under conditions which we could not for a moment believe that a person could exist under such conditions. As we know, they were working maybe 16, 17 hours a day. Under such strain, way below zero, with no proper clothing, no food, no proper food to sustain themselves with, no sleeping facilities, sleeping on a plank of wood and maybe covered with straw, maybe they were lucky. No pillows and no quilt, blankets and no hot meals and Abudat Barik, day and night. And people lived. They lived to tell the story. They lived to tell what they went through and how they existed. No one of those people who went through that would have ever believed that they could have survived such a situation. But human beings have in them tremendous kohot, hidden kohots, strength and power, which is hidden inside of them. These are physical forces and powers. These are mental forces. These are spiritual forces, unbelievable, untapped energy, which can be put into Torah and Avodat Hashem, but we're not aware of it. We don't believe we could exist. Baruch Hashem, Hashem is very kind to us, and we all live in Baruch Hashem comfortable homes. We had a marveh, we had a magid. We come to beautiful yeshivas, the best lighting, comfortable furniture, each seat has its handrest, everything on the right, we want the shtender at the right height, must be adjustable. We want, of course, if we can, I don't know whether the kollel allows it, a cup of tea here and there. Everything is, we take it easy. What can we say? We take it very easy. We're living a comfortable life, we're living, okay, we are Be'er Hashem, we're serving Hashem, we're learning Torah, we pray, we keep mitzvot, we educate our children. But we take it easy. I often say that probably many of us, I'm speaking first and foremost about myself, maybe we don't invest from our kohot that we have hidden inside of us, maybe 15-20%. We go through life using 20% of our kohot. We take it easy. Hashem, when He put us into Egypt, He wants us to taste and recognize and realize what tremendous kohot people have. How much can we really put into Avdut Hashem? What are our ultimate capabilities? Unfortunately, when people are in slavery, so there's no choice. All those kohot are going to come out. So that was Avdei Paro. Paro brought it all out and revealed to us what we were capable of. For a person to be able to just from his own will give up himself willingly to such extent, this kohot, it's not very often that we find. Of course, the Agdoli Israel, even in our generation, anyone who is aware of the Hatmada, say of Rabbi Yoshev or son-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky, other Agdoli, who Yomam Badaila Lo Ishbotu, and someone like Rabbi Yoshev, the same house he went into when he was a Hatan, he's still living in the same house. If people would have somehow, adjusted it a little bit for him, of course he would never have bothered. And all his life, as you could say, maybe now, probably 85 years of consecutive day and night learning, using every second of his time, all his kohot, all his kohot, all the way down. I mean, merciless. He's merciless to himself, he's merciless to others. He doesn't, you know, beyond the half an hour that he gives for answering all the questions of Klal Yisrael, that's it. There's no such thing as, you know, Rebbe, we have a big problem now in the middle of learning. He's locked up. You can't come in and no one can talk to him. There's no way. I know a story of Sofer, about, I'm sure, 35 years ago, nearer 40 years ago. He, in the middle of writing Shem Habaya, he had a shaila, and he couldn't speak. Either apostles, the whole parasha that he was writing, it was in those days, they wrote Parnosa, and he knew, and Rabbi Yosef given an answer. So he went out to the street, took a cab, went to Rabbi Yosef's Beis HaMidrash, and somehow got in, and wrote the shaila and showed him the parasha. He said, no, he's not here. He said, I'm learning now. He sent him away. So the Sofer was a little bit an action. He wrote on a piece of paper, Kvod Hashem, and gave it to him. So he agreed to answer. The tshuva was one word. But it just shows you to what an extent Gdolei Israel respect their time, their capability, their choices, and what they have, their mission and work in the world. They understand what they came here for. Giving a psak halacha is also Torah. It's a Torah. Tachlit Torah tshuva, ma'asim tovim, lehorot moire harah b'Israel is the greatest thing. But there's times for everything. The time to learn, and the time to paskin, and the time for whatever else. And people have given over their life, living a life of, you know, everything measured. It's not a joke. It's for real. Hazal say, kach hidarka shel Torah. פת במלח תוכל, ומים במסורת תשתה, ועל הארץ תשען, וחיי צהר תהיה, ותורה תאמר. ואם אתה עושה כך, אשריך בעולם הזה, ואשריך בעולם הבא. That's a Mishnah in Avot. It's not a fairy tale. It's not, you know, we're not speaking of a Sipure Tzadikim and Hasidim. That's a Mishnah in Avot. פת במלח תוכל, Kachi darka shel Torah. You want to be a ben Torah? You have to eat very meagerly. Mind the mesurat ishte. Drink measured amounts of water. Al aretz tishan. Sleep on the floor. V'chayet tzar tehyeh. Live a life of suffering. U'betorah ta'amin. Then you'll grow in Torah. Im ata oseh kach, ashrecha. You're going to be happy in this world and the world to come. And that's for true. I mean, all of us imagine the happiest man in the world is a billionaire. For example, we could say, you know, it's a true story, so I'll mention his name. Mr. Eichmann, billionaire. We all think he's the happiest man in the world, luckiest man in the world. Rav Shach, you think, you know, Olam Haba is going to have for sure the biggest Olam Haba, but Olam Haza is nothing. He doesn't even own a home. He never owned a home. They put him in one of the yeshiva's apartments, and, you know, even a Sfarim he didn't have. Whatever people visited and left Sfarim around, they were put in the shelves. That's all. He didn't, you know, had nothing in the world. Nothing. So we said, okay, Rav Shach in this world, he suffered. In the world to come, it's going to be tremendous for him. The rich man, Mr. Reitman, in this world, he's very happy. He's got his private jet and whatever, all that he does. In the world to come, oh, he won't be like Rav Shach. One day he came to visit Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, Rav Moshe, I'm very envious of your Olam Haba. Where you're going to be after all the tzedakas you gave, all the Torah you built in the world, you'll be way, way, way above us. Olam Haba, you're going to have. This world, you're running around, you know, what a life. I pity you. On the other hand, me, I have Olam Haba. I have my Shtender, I have my Gemara, Baruch Hashem, I can sit and learn. That's Olam Haba. Olam Haba, I don't know what's going to be with me. Certainly I won't be at your level, but Olam Haza I have. So, you know, that's the Pshat Ashrecha. Ashrecha ba'olam Haza is Zemes. Of course I know, and I'm very aware, that the Rishonim explained that Pat HaMelech Tuchal is not to be taken literally, and the person must be Mekayim Ushmartem Me'od L'Nashotechem, and everything is relative to the communities we live in and the blessings that Hashem has blessed us, and someone who is blessed with wealth, he doesn't have to sleep on the floor. He can live a comfortable life. you know, always it's an inyan not to do excessive things in Kashmir's and you know, Oilam Hazeh, but within limits and within your financial bracket, but Hashem has blessed you and allowed you, you're welcome to enjoy. But to give up yourself must be abdut, must be bishlemut. So some of the Rishonim explained that the Kabbalat all Torah of a person should be ad kidei pat melach tucha lumayim b'mesurat tishtei, the whole Mishnah. That means, that's how I mekabel all Torah. If Hashem has made it comfortable for me, okay, we'll live comfortably. But to be mevatel Torah because of comforts, never. Even if we're the matzav of pat melach mayim b'mesurat al arz sham, we'll carry on with the same Kabbalat all Torah. We know that nothing is more hadith to HaKadosh Baruch Hu min Torah ha-nilmad mitoch ha-dahak. Dahak. Sheker Ahem, Hevel Ayofi, Hazal learned that the most beloved door for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilahi and his students who were so poor that you had Shisha mitkasim betalit ahad oskim betorah. Six people together covering themselves, clothing themselves with one talit and learn. They were so poor that they didn't have clothes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us the maximum. His tviya on us is not on the minimum, it's on the maximum. Each one of us must attain the highest level that he's capable of achieving. And Hashem gives us the power to do that. He's given us how much seichel we need, and how much health we need, and how much koach we need, and how much of whatever else we need, so that each one of us can attain his shleimut, what is expected of him. We have to get to shleimut, that must be our aim, and shleimut is avdut b'shleimut, that we're Hashem's servants. That's what we are. So that's why the whole Yisod of Klal Yisrael had to be from Yitziat Mitzrayim. We could have never become the Am Sigula, we could have never become Avdei Hashem Be'emet, Be'ta'avdun Te'elokim Ala Harazeh, except because Hashem put us into slavery and we felt it on our flesh and blood what it means to be a slave. We understood the shi'ur that we are capable of devoting now to Hashem. We will take Yitzchem Mitahat Siblot Mitzrayim, leaving now Egypt, feeling on our backs the Siblot, what we went through. Now we know what, how to serve Hashem and how to give to Hashem the maximum koach that we have, everything, lehakdish la'avodat Hashem. On the pasuk, lo b'shamayim hi v'lo me'eva li'am hi, Hazal say that, speaking about the Torah, and the Bohu brought the Torah down. He gave it to us on Har Sinai, he brought it down. What would have been if he had left it up and said, go and fetch it? So Hazal say we would have built ladders and gone up. I don't know how to calculate how many millions of light years away, you know, the Shamayim, the Shemaya Shamayim, the universe is so gigantic and colossal that science doesn't know where it ends. To go beyond that, all the higher worlds, I don't know, the Torah is Olam HaBriya, or even above it, we don't know, way, way high, high up. You know, how to build ladders, Hazal, what are they telling us? What do they mean when they say that we have to build those ladders and go up? So I once heard from a daughter, he explained that the Pshat is, so when a person knows that his life depends upon it, people, when they're in a situation, Chas v'Sholom, a building is on fire, or something happens that they're in a situation where their life is in danger, they reveal such forces from within themselves, both mental and physical, that they can do things they could never have dreamt that was capable for them to do. They can jump and leap huge leaps, they can climb a wall which is almost like a steep cliff. They can do unbelievable things. They're trying to save their life. If we understand that we have no life except from Torah, for sure, If we have to build those ladders so many million light years up, we're going to do it. Because we understand that our life depends upon it. And then we would do it. We would really go up and do it. So I heard from Israel, said to me, so now Lemaitre Akadbo who brought the Torah down and gave it to us here. So why did Hazal have to teach us? What were they meaning when they said that if Akadbo had left the Torah high above, we would have had to build those ladders? So he says to teach you the She'ura Yidiyah. How much a person must be Yadiyah Belimu. To what extent the Tviyah is upon us to be with Yadiyah Belimu. Adkidika, so much like building ladders millions of light years high to go up and bring down the Torah, because we know the end Hayyan of Oresh, and we know that our life depends upon it. He explained according to that, what we say in the Haggadah, Ilu hevi otanu lifnei har Sinai, velo natan lanu et haTorah dayenu. Every verse in Dayenu makes sense. Each stage of it makes sense. Here, we don't understand what it means. If he brought us before Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, that was already enough. What's the big deal to be by Har Sinai? Those days with Tulim, it doesn't sound that's the meaning. So what was the purpose? Ilu hevi otanu lifnei har Sinai dayenu, what's the dayenu? The pshat is that if we would have been there and seen the Torah all the way up, we would have built the ladders and gone up. That's the pshat dayenu. Hashem made it easy, he brought the Torah down. Now that he brought the Torah down, at least we have to know how much we have to put into our learning corresponding to if we will have to bring the Torah down with those ladders that we will have to build. So each Ben Torah has to put into his Abdut the maximum that he can do. With Mesirut Nefesh. Torah has to be learned with Mesirut Nefesh. Mesirut Nefesh means giving, first of all, the time that we need to learn. The Shlach Kadosh mentions Sira, he says, on one hand, Hazal say, Tehilat Dino Shel Adam, Al-Tributitim Le-Torah, Kavata Etim Le-Torah, which implies that if he answers yes, I was Kovea Etim, so he's got a passport into Gan Eden. On the other hand, the Shlach brings another Hazal and would say, Kol HaKovea Etim Le-Torah, Mefer Torah, Mefer Brit. Sounds is very bad to be Kovea Etim Le-Torah. The Shlach answers, there are two types in Klal Yisrael. You have the Shlomi Amunia Yisrael, who are people who are Nehenam Yidyan, they're Osek B'Panasa, Etl Avod, Echl Elmod. So a person who has a Panasa as well, besides his learning, by him, there's an Inyok, Kavata Etim the Torah. Just like you have time to work, you have a time to learn. And he will be Zokhe Vendin if he's Kove Etim. But someone who Ben Torah, the Shlo says, the person Ben Torah, Atamid Hakam, if he says, oh, Kollel is over at this time, we go, that's the end of learning. Chas v'shalom, he says, no such thing. That's Mefer Torah, that's considered Mefer Torah. If you are Ben Torah, as long as you can learn, you have to learn. The tviyah on a person is to learn as long as you have to learn. They say that Chazon Ish was Mekayim this literally. Sometimes they would find him sleeping on the floor, sometimes half on the floor and half on the bed. And when they asked him what happened, so he says he used to learn till he felt he had the koyak to close the Gemara and walk to his bed. And his room was maybe Arba al-Arba. Just Chiyuv Mezuzah, no more. But sometimes he miscalculated and he fell on the floor, or he fell half on the bed or half on the floor. And they say, quite often he quotes the Rashbo or the Ramban, and then he says, I don't have the Sefer. What's Piyat? A few minutes ago he quotes the Ramban or the Rashbo, all of a sudden he doesn't have the Sefer. They say, Eno Tahat Yadi, I don't have the strength to go to the bookshelf to bring the Ramban, bring the Rashbo. I don't have the strength. So he was learning Ad Klot Kohotav. I was zochet to see the stipler. I came to him, I think it was Yod Zayin B'Tammuz. There was no AC and not even a ventilator where he was sitting. And we came a group of people, of Rabbanim, it was something to do, some askonis who came for something. And we all were around his table and he didn't see us. He must have been then, you know, in his 90s. A Saturday in Bnei Brak, with the heat of Bnei Brak, no AC, in the afternoon. Perhaps there's anyone would be now lying down, resting, taking it easy. He was learning Mishnayot from his little Mishnayot. But I cannot explain it to you. I don't want to make you laugh. But the way he was learning was like a lion devouring his prey. Even the kolot that he was uttering was something frightening. It was, you know, unbelievable how he was learning with such intention and with the kole kolot, a man his age, Bnei Brak, in the heat on a fast day. For sure he should have been resting. So, you know, I know he had a neighbor who told me, his window would overlook his study. He says sometimes he went for days without sleeping in the bed. I mean, he could pray, come back, carry on, you know, fall asleep a bit and carry on and carry on. Igiyat Torah. Also the Hatzlacha of Limud Torah is below Shibu. It's not at all reckoned in according with the Hashkar. Although the Yigiyah is a tnai for Hatzlacha. But what we achieve in our learning is always beyond the wildest imagination that we can imagine. And that's why we say Yagata Umatzata. It doesn't say Yagata Ve'etzlachta, Yagata Ve'evanta, Yagata Ve'yadata. It says Yagata Umatzata. It's always a Mitziyah. Torah is a Mitziyah. Hashem is noten, and Torah is always giving it. Nefesh amela, amla lo. The Torah works for you. You did your bit, you were amel. Now the Torah is working on your behalf. It's a living Torah. The Torah reveals herself to you. And in this way, the Hatzlaha of learning is miraculous. It's unbelievable. Someone who really gives himself to his learning, his success in learning will be unbelievable. On Shiru. In Asiyah, it's also like that. That also we can learn from this week's parasha. I always ask, Bat Paro, stretch out a hand. But Tishlachet Amata, the second chapter, she threw a hand out. And it, Ishtaruvi Ishtarva, 12 Amot, or whatever, to bring Moshe, to retrieve him from the waters, to save the baby Moshe, who is Torah in essence. So I always ask, was she crazy? I mean, what did she think? If I want a book now, I'm not going to stretch my hand out. But the emet is, I don't have perfect emunah. If we have perfect emunah, we have to know if we're doing for Hashem, if we're building Torah for Hashem, if we're... Whatever we're doing in Avodat Hashem has no limits. We're not working within the confines and limits of the laws of nature. The Hatzlaha of Torah and Binyan of Torah is always beyond sechel, it's beyond rationality, it's beyond higayon, it's beyond svara, it's beyond logic. The success is ishtarvu ve'ishtarvah, it goes beyond anything. You can hope and have aspirations to teach, to write, to build for Torah, and Hashem will help you, and you'll do what no one could ever believe, how it was ever done, how it was ever achieved. No, at this second it can't be. Kiyum HaTorah in the world today is a big example, I don't want to go into, but it's mamash, a miracle, an unbelievable miracle. Today tens and tens of thousands of Avrishim learning in Kolelim all around the world, which was never before in Europe of all the world, and maybe had 2 or 3 Kolelim, a few tens of Avrishim, maybe. And today you have tens of thousands. And you have people who want to support Torah. They demand to support Torah. They're looking for it. And the Bohu has got a divine plan in working here, what's going on, what we are aware of what's going on. It's for sure, Ikbadad al-Shihar is preparing the world for the coming of Mashiach. But there's so many Bnei Torah and those who support and love Torah. But all this has to awaken in us commitment to give of ourselves. And everyone can give, as we said, much, much more than he thinks that he's capable of, if we really want to. The Yerushalmi says, Yagar Rabbi Bun, Be'asim Veshmoneh Shana, מה שלא יגע תלמיד ותיק במאה שנה. רבי בון learned in 28 years what a תלמיד ותיק, that's a big תלמיד, תלמיד ותיק, לא יגע במאה שנה. What a normal תלמיד could have done in 100 years, רבי בון did in 28 years. So this is what we have to make our motto, this is what we have to make our aim, to be able to use our time, to use our kohot, to use our capabilities, to use whatever we have in the most condensed way, to make use of our lives, not to go through the world and then we find we wasted our lives. When we always say, it's in Hazal, the Lashon, to school Arikut Yamin Mishanim. It doesn't make sense, Arikut Shanim. The Mele Yamin Bechlal Shanim. But the chat is, people live to an old age, a ripe old age, but their days are not utilized fully. Arichut Yamin, every day must be long, every day must be full of content, of achievement, of doing, of everything. The days are great potential, what we can do, time is unbelievable, the achievements can be done. I want to just connect up what I said. I am still in the Shloshim of my brother, Don Hillel, who is David Hillel's father. We can say about him, Yaga Rabbi Dan ב-15 שנה, מה שלא יגע תלמיד ותיק, וחכם ותיק, ב-200 שנה. What he did in his 15 years, over the Shiva, we had visits from Gdolei Torah, everyone came. And most of them came לכבודו. His chavrusas over the years, Rabbi Yosef Stern, he's a magician, he's a polemic of Rav Scheinberg. He told me that he learned together with Chavrusa, with Rav Don, Moed, Nashim, Nizikim, and part of Taharot. His Chavrusa were all Gdolei Israel. He learned the Chavrusa with Rav Ehrenberg, the Rosh Hashiva of Hedera, with Rav Yisrael Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I got a call, he couldn't come. Called me from Tifrach, from Avraham Yishayahu Greinemann, the eldest son of Chaim Greinemann, who learned with him Chavrusa for a long time. We wrote at Chidushin together. And so on and so forth. In those 15 years that he gave of himself, he gave night and day. What he achieved, others can just dream of achieving. He learned probably Rov Shas. He knew for sure Hetzi Shas B'Iyun B'Havana Shlema. He taught the Torah to hundreds and hundreds of people around the world, as I will mention. And he set up Kehilot and Muzdot with great success, that all over the world people consider him their Rebbe and their his Talmidim, and we see Perot and Perot from all that he did. First he learned in Yerushalayim by Torah Or, by Rav Scheinberg, who considered him Ma'amash Talmid Mubhak. He came during the Shiva, they were frightened to tell him the news. But Simcha said, I'm afraid he could die, God forbid, if he, you know. They prepared him slowly, slowly, till they told him. And when he came to be Menachem Ovel, he was crying. It was a Talmid Mubhak by him. So he learned about 5 years before he got married. Then in those years he went through most of Shas and grew. After his wedding, he learned in Ahavat Shalom for a couple of years. And then he got a shtela, Or Sameach took him as a magid shiur in Givat Arta. And people came, that part of his history I never knew about it, people came to tell us about his great chassadim and his the chizuk they got from learning with him has remained to them the most inspiring thing they've had throughout their lives. They all said that. All the heshek for learning came from him from those years that they were with him. Then from there he went to Zichron Yaakov, also with Or Sameach. Finally in Zichron Yaakov he opened up his own kollel and had a huge mosad which exists to this very day, which he was mefanes with his, you know, with his tircha. He made a few trips abroad at the time to South Africa and other places to collect for his mosad. And he made many, many Baalei Tshuva today, who learned with him a lot, many Masechtot, and today are Magidei Shi'ur and Talmidei Chachamim of the highest caliber. From there, together with us, we started a kollel in Dimona, under conditions, and Rabbi Yaakov Friedman said, you will not be successful in Dimona. Even Ahavat Shalom, even with Rav Dom, you won't make it. It's, the mayor is against it, the chief rabbi there is against it. There's no way. I tried, I failed. He went there. In a few years, he set up there two kololim, one for Avotim, one for Baalei Tshuva. He had a metifta, he had a Talmud Torah, he had properties, buildings, he had everything. The whole town was behind him, from the mayor to the chief rabbi. Everyone was with him and helping him, and he did unbelievable things. At the time, he was staying in Tifra, so he left a deep imprint in Tifra as well. Everyone there remembers him and learned from him and had chavrutot with him. He, you know, he did great things there. After that, he went to London. He really, you could say, whatever there is in London today is his. Everything. By, in the Sephardic community. When he came, there was zero. There was two old shuls, with a few old people coming and praying on Shabbat. No Torah, nothing whatsoever. He set up a kolel, that every avrech in that kolel today is a Rosh Kolel or a Rosh Kehila somewhere in London. I'm speaking about 20 such avrechim today. I can tell you the names, but I don't want to tire you. Every one of them is today one of the Rabbanim in the Sephardi Kehila. Everyone. There's no one else. Since there is no one else, only these 20 Avrechim are the ones who all around have Kehilot. Each one has his own shul and his own mosdot and his own kolel and everything. And they all started there. That was the Gar'en. And tens and tens of families who we brought back in Tshuva in the most drastic way, because they were so seeped into Tum'ah. There is no other word. He came in like I said, you know, like a steamroller. One of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, a great Rosh Hashiva, Rav Shmuel Bital, says, no, it was like a Ma'ayan HaShotef. So someone asked him, why not a steamroller? He says, look, steamroller, you can turn off the gas. A Ma'ayan HaShotef is forever. That's how he was. You know, that's what he was. So he went there, and what he left behind there is still to this very day. He was niftar on Shabbat, the Friday before, the day before, two young men came from London, who learned in Yeshivot, and they brought to them 100 teenagers. And they bring 100 teenagers twice a year, with some program of Esha Torah, or Kiruv, and tens and tens of these teenagers are ending up in Yeshivot, and ending up keeping mitzvot, and ending up, you know, Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot. These two boys, my brother Dan brought their two families back in Tshuva. Just two among maybe 100 families that came back in Tshuva through him. And here they are, you know, their children are today carrying on the perot and perot of all that was done. I see here, I just see Simon Abraham. He can vouch for his whole family, every one of them. His father and mother and uncles and aunts and everyone, the whole community, every single one today is Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, the zchut of what he did. After that, he came back to Eretz Yisrael, carried on a bit of learning, and then Moshe Sternbuch had left South Africa because he got the shtela of Guy Gedolim Shalayim, and he sent Rav Don to his kehila there in South Africa. Now that also I didn't know much about, although I did visit him once there in South Africa for a few days. But I had visits from people, one of them I'm sure you know, is a gentleman called Mr. Nussbaum. What he told me, I was absolutely shocked, I couldn't believe what he's telling me. He said, today in SSL you have Yad Eliezer, Yad Sara, whatever, all these Irgunim for Hesed and Refuot. He says, Rav Don had in South Africa Chalukah and Irgune Hesed, and he told me lists and lists of things that he was doing in Hesed alone, never mind his learning, never mind what he was doing within the Kehillah, but even in Hesed on his own, what he had achieved. So we can really say about him, Yagar Abihun Be'asim Shmone Shana Mashalo Yagar Tamid Vatik B'mea Shana. I think that's a big limud for all of us to know that we have to put ourselves into whatever we're doing, belevu benefesh, to give of ourselves, because our capabilities are unbelievable, and the siyata deshmaya is beyond our wildest dreams, and things can be achieved. Baruch Hashem, things are achieved, when we see what Rabbi Dweck has achieved, we see what Rabbi Diamond has achieved, when we see all these wonderful things, where this kehila was a few years ago, and where it's holding today, and where it's going tomorrow. So we know things are being achieved, but just like the leaders of this community have given up themselves, the Mesirut Nefesh, and we know what that means, mamash, the Mesirut Nefesh they put into this Kehillah, we have to know that the younger generation, this is what expected of us. And if we're still really in the land of milk and honey here in America, which is, you know, a very comfortable place to live, we must know that at least within the misgeret of our comfort, we have to be able to give up ourselves more and more to Mesirut Nefesh, to use our life for Torah and Avodat Hashem, and it can be done, and we see it done, and we have examples, living examples of people who have done it and achieved such wonderful things in their lifetime that people can only just dream about maybe of doing and not even think it would be possible. שיהיו דברי תורה אלו לעילוי נשמת אחי רדון בן גלדיאס, שתהיה נשמתו צרורה בצרור החיים, אמן כן יהי רצון.
אמן.
Follow, just tell them.